Last Thursday we talked about the heresies in the blood of Christ, number 2, the second in that series. Today we want to speak about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let's begin by turning to Ephesians 3, beginning and read verse number 1 together. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Now notice, he says he's a prisoner. He's writing from jail, the Roman jail. He wrote 4 letters from that first Roman imprisonment: Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And this is one of the letters that he wrote. Notice, he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Not because he stole or raped somebody or some other sin, but because he preached Christ, he was a prisoner of Christ. Notice, for you Gentiles, because of you Gentiles, because he was preaching to the Gentiles. Paul was called to minister to the Gentiles. Because he was preaching faithfully to them, they locked him up, took him away to the Roman prison. We have other verses that tell us about Paul being a prisoner. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, for example, he says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. Again, the prisoner because he's of the Lord, faithful to Christ, beseech you that you should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And in 2 Timothy 1, in verse 8, this is his second Roman imprisonment. He says to Pastor Timothy in the church at Ephesus, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. His prisoner. Not because he violated any rules of Rome, but just preaching the gospel. We have to obey God rather than men. We may be made prisoners also if we obey the word of God one of these days and be taken away. But Paul is a prisoner, his prisoner. And then he says, be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Then Philemon 1, verse 1, again, Paul a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy, because he was a faithful preacher of Christ to Philemon, our dearly brother and fellow laborer. So Paul was a faithful minister of the gospel, apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, he was put in the Roman prison and made to suffer for that preaching of the word. Let's read verse number 2 together. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. Now notice the dispensation of the grace of God. Paul was the minister to wipe out the law of Moses. Dispensation of the law had no more power once the Lord Jesus Christ had come and was crucified on the cross of Calvary. And he gave to the Apostle Paul this special dispensation of the grace of God. And the whole New Testament now is the dispensation of grace rather than dispensation of law. We have 7 different dispensations we talk about and our church believes in. There are 3 major ones. Law is the greatest one. Grace is the one today. The kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ is the 3rd. There are 4 other ones, the smaller ones. The innocence in the Garden of Eden, and conscience, and human government, and so on, all these other things. But there's other ones that are the main ones, are those large ones, and one is the dispensation of the grace of God given to Paul. Other verses talk about the grace of God, getting something you don't deserve. And Paul was, he overturned that law of Moses. In Luke 2:40, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he grew, the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was with him. The grace of God. Is the grace of God with you? If you're saved and born again, I trust this is the case. In Acts 13, in verse 43, when the apostles were preaching, they said, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Not just be in the grace of God, be saved and born again, genuinely saved and converted, but continue in God's grace. In Acts 20, verse 24, Paul was warned not to go to Jerusalem because they're going to kill him, going to slaughter him. The Jews are waiting for him. He didn't care. In 20 of Acts, verse 24, he said to these men, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. He was going to Jerusalem, no matter what they said. He's going to trust the Lord. Now, he wants to labor under the hands of Rome. He was made a prisoner, wasn't killed at that time. But he wanted to be faithful to the ministry of the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 10, Paul says, looking back over his life, a murderer of Christians, a terrible blasphemer. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By God's grace giving something I did not deserve, I am what I am. And His grace was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Is God's grace bestowed on you in vain? Listen about that. Very clear, very simple, very important. Not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And then in 2 Corinthians 6, in verse 1, Paul says, we then are workers together with Him, with the Lord, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Again, the second time, not in vain. What does that mean? To no purpose. To save and live for yourself, the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's not what God wants. That's receiving the grace of God if we're genuinely saved and born again. In vain. Then in Titus 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. That's what brought salvation to this wicked world. The grace of God, sending His Son by God's grace to this wicked world. By the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Notice the next part of that verse, Titus 2:11. Hath appeared to all men. Not simply the elect. Not simply those certain people that are chosen and the rest of us must go to hell if we're not chosen. To all men, the salvation hath appeared. All men are available and able to receive it, but we must receive that salvation. Doesn't mean that all are saved just because it's offered to us. If I offered you a free lunch up here, you wouldn't receive it unless you come and get it. If I offered you $1 million, you wouldn't receive it until you come and get it. You must receive, but it's offered to all men, women, and children. In 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If you have received the gift, may you manifest and use it to the grace of God as well. Let's read verse number 3 together. How that by revelation He hath made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. This mystery, by revelation, the mystery is a sacred secret. That's what that word mysterion means in the Greek text. By revelation. Paul, once he was saved, did not go to Jerusalem to learn what he should do by the different apostles. He set off into the desert place. And for 3 years, the Lord Jesus taught him. Just like 3 years, He taught the disciples. He taught them special things that were not taught by the disciples. Special things. The revelation of the mystery, the grace of God. In few words. In Romans 16, and verse 25, now to Him that is at power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. The Old Testament did not know this secret, that Christ would come and seek and save that which is lost, and die, shed His blood on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. In Ephesians 3, verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, again, this sacred secret, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now those last words, by Jesus Christ, are gone by the Gnostic Bibles. The Gnostics did not believe Christ was anything but a man. Created being, needed salvation himself, was lost. So they take away by Jesus Christ. And the modern versions, following the Gnostic heresies, have taken away the creation of the Lord Jesus Christ in this verse also. They eliminate by Jesus Christ. NIV, NASV, English Standard Version, Revised Standard, all of them. He created. In Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles. Now notice what He defines the mystery as, His secret, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. That's the secret. The Lord Jesus Christ could indwell, redeem sinners who have trusted in Him genuinely by faith. Colossians 4:3, without praying unto us, that God would open us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Because He preached Christ that He was the Savior, He was in bonds and He was in prison. He was in jail. In 1 Timothy 3:16, without mystery, without controversy, great is the mystery of God and godliness. What was that mystery in 1 Timothy 3:16? God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit, seen today. That's the mystery, that God was manifest in the flesh. The Son of God, perfect deity, became perfect humanity in the incarnation by the process and the miracle of the virgin birth. That word God was manifest in the flesh is gone by all these modern versions following the Gnostic heresies. It says he appeared in the body. No, it's God was manifest in the flesh. The Gnostics didn't believe that Jesus was God, so they wiped out that word Theos or God. You won't find that in the NASV and the English Standard Version, the Revised Standard Version, and all these other NIV. It's gone following the heresies. Why fundamentalist Bible-believing Christians and translators could follow heresy is beyond me. But they follow it. Clearly, Vatican and Sinai manuscript, these Gnostic manuscripts from Alexandria, Egypt, they blatantly follow like sheepdogs. Terrible sin on the part of these translators, many of whom are saved and born again. Let's read verse number 4 together. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul says, when you read about this, you'll understand how the Lord Jesus Christ, when I was in that 3 years in the desert place, in the Arabian desert, I was told about this sacred secret and mystery that the Lord Jesus Christ would come into this world and wipe out the law of Moses, and that those that trust Him genuinely can be saved by His precious blood, who shed for the remission of sins. Let's read verse number 5 together. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Notice which in other ages, this mystery. The Old Testament, they wrote, they prophesied concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, but they didn't know what they were writing about. The things to come. It was in other ages not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles, and Paul was one, and the prophets, by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God revealed this special secret, that the Lord Jesus would come from heaven, God would be manifest in the flesh, and that He would take upon Himself the sins and the guilt of the whole world, not simply the elect, but the whole world, that by faith, genuine faith, not simply head faith, but genuine faith and trust in Him, they might have everlasting life and forgiveness of sins. That was not known in the Old Testament. It was revealed by the Spirit of God. In 1 Chronicles 28:12, for example, and the pattern of all that He had by the Spirit. We read that this morning in our Bible reading. The temple was given by the Spirit of God, and the courts of the house of the Lord, all the things, the details, the tabernacle were given by the Spirit of God, and so the details of the temple as well. And the sacred secret, the mystery, was given also by the Spirit of God, as it says in this verse. Let's read verse number 6 together. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. This is what the mystery is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with the Jews. The same body. The same body. And that's why we think it's heresy that our fellow believers in Connecticut, for example, Dr. Strauss and his church and others in that area, and all the teachings he's made all over the world, is wrong. It's heretical, saying that the body of Christ is simply His church, special Baptist church, and by baptism, by immersion, you become a member of that body of Christ. That's false. The body, both Jew and Gentile, that's the body He's talking about here, saved a people of whatever group, wherever they may be, genuinely saved, they're in the body of Christ. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Now that heresy of just Baptist churches only being the body of Christ is called landmarkism. Landmarkism. The landmark Christians, historically, the Baptist landmarkers, believed that they were the only church that was in the body of Christ. What kind of egotism is that? What kind of egotism is that? Self-centeredism. That just the Baptists, not the Presbyterians or Lutherans that may be saved and born again, not the Bible people, not the Bible churches, just a certain flavor of Baptist. Landmarkism is a heresy that's been promulgated and continued by Dr. Strauss and his group in Connecticut, and he has classes all over the country and all over the world, in Ireland and Britain and other places, teaching the same heresy, that only the Baptists are in the body of Christ, are the body of Christ. That's a terrible thing. Fellow heirs, in Romans 12 and verse 5, we being many are one body in Christ, all saved people, born again, genuinely saved people. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one, it has many members, all the members of that one body are being many, are one body, so also is Christ. One body. Save people, the body of Christ. Not simply Baptists, or one brand of Baptists, but all Christian saved people, born again. 1 Corinthians 12:13 is the one verse that Dr. Strauss and his group twist and rend out of proportion. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this, quote, "For by one Spirit," with a capital S, "by one Spirit," the Spirit of God, "are we all baptized into one body."
Amen.
Whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether they be bond or free, have all been made to drink into one body. They mistranslate that, and Dr. Strauss says, the Spirit is not the Holy Spirit. Take away the capital S, put a little S, "by one Spirit," enthusiasm. Are we all baptized? That's how he translates this thing, one body, to get that in, referring not to, but this is using that as all saved people are baptized. This is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit of the Pentecostals. No, that's not that type of baptism. It's a Spirit baptism whereby he joins every person that's saved to one another and to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the baptism of the Spirit of God does. And that verse is there, 1 Corinthians 12:13, that should not be twisted and warped and explained away as Dr. Strauss and his group does. And 1 Corinthians 12:27, "Now ye the body of Christ, the members in particular," every saved person. Ephesians 2:16, "that he might reconcile both," that is Jew and Gentile, "under God in one body by the cross." That's the reconciliation. Jew and Gentile, one body, saved people. Ephesians 3 and verse 6, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs," the one we have right here in this verse, "of the same body, partakers by the gospel." And then in Colossians 1 and verse 18, "and he is the head of the body," the Lord Jesus, "the church, who is the beginning, firstborn among the..." The saved people are members of that body, all saved people, no matter where they go, what they do, what they don't do. Genuinely saved. Not simply those with the head knowledge, those that are genuinely born again and saved. Let's read verse number 7 together. "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." Whereof, that is, whereof this special gospel. This special gospel, I was made a minister. What a miracle in itself. Paul, the apostle that cursed and swore and killed Christians and imprisoned Christians before he was saved, he thought he was doing God a service. What a terrible, terrible man he was. And the miracle of salvation of the apostle Paul, they rode to Damascus, ready to imprison and kill Christians and bring him back to Jerusalem. The Lord met him and says, "Whereof I was made a minister." Not simply a Christian, saved, but a minister. "According to the gift of the grace of God which was given unto me." The next part of that verse, "How was it given?" By the effectual working of his power. It's only by God's power that can convert such a sinner as Paul. It's only by God's power that can convert sinners such as we, if you're saved here this morning. If you're not saved, only God's power can convert and twist you around and save you as well. In Job 26 and verse 12, "He divided the sea with his power," talking about the power of God. Jeremiah 10 and verse 12, "He has made the earth by his power." It's that power, the only effectual working of his power, that can cause us not only to be saved, but also to serve the Lord himself. By his power, he's made out the world and established the world by his wisdom. Ephesians 1:19, where he talked about the exceeding greatness of his power. God's power is exceeding great. And only those that are saved and born again, that have the Spirit of God within them, have this power. No unsaved person has the power of God at all. According to the greatness of his power, to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And then Hebrews 1 and verse 3, "who being the brightness of his glory," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power." The Lord Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power, even today, that the planets don't come and crash upon the earth, that they don't collide one with the other, that the stars don't fall. All these things manifest upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself, we're going to talk about that in a Bible study this afternoon. I hope you join us at that time. We're going to take in Hebrews. We're going to take Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 in our discussion of the Bible, verse by verse. When we come to verse 3, the Gnostics and the modern versions take away these two words, "by himself." They're gone. The NIV, New American Standard, English Standard. Why do the Gnostics take away "by himself"? Because they want to be conducive to the Roman Catholic religion, I guess, which doesn't teach that only by himself can we be saved. The Roman Catholic system, and there are other systems like it, but the Roman Catholic system says, oh, we've got to go to Mass. We've got to be members of the Roman Catholic Church to be saved. not simply by himself. You can't just buy the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in him by himself. You've got to do penance. You've got to have last rites. You have to go to a service of the church. You have to believe in the Pope and pray to the saints. All these plus. By himself alone, amen, he purged our sins and cleansed our sins. The Lord Jesus alone. I said before, the Baptists didn't come out of the Reformation, but there's many things that we would agree with in Luther and his Reformation. Four, the solos, which means only. There are four onlys. Sola Scriptura, we hold to that, only Scripture. Not the Pope, not the tradition, not all these other things that men say, but only Scripture. Sola Gratia, only by the grace of God can we be saved. We believe in that. Sola Gratia. Sola Fide, only by faith can a person be saved. All these solas, only. And the fourth only, Sola Christi, only by Christ, by himself, and himself alone. That's got to be in Hebrews 1:3, not taken out and removed, as these modern versions following the Gnostics have removed it. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, notice he says, let's go to verse number 8. Let's read verse number 8 together. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What a wonderful thing. Unto me, the less than the least of the saints, because he was such a scoundrel before. He's humble, and all of us should be humble. Not boasting and praising and saying he worshiped the great people. Less than the least is this grace, God's grace given. And I said, what should he do? Preach among the Gentiles. That's why God called him, to preach faithfully among the Gentiles, these heathen people, the unsearchable riches of Christ, which is what we called our message this morning. The preaching, very important, like our Bible for the Baptist Church, is the preaching of the Word of God all over the world, as long as the network and the internet is open, and as long as Dan stands with us, helping us with the streaming. Without Dan's streaming abilities, we'd be absolutely done. And sometimes the streaming goes off, but he comes and fixes it, so we're glad for that. But preaching among the Gentiles and search for Richard Christ. In Romans 1:15, Paul says, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also. He's ready to preach at Rome. In Romans 10:15, how shall they preach except they be sent? A lot of people are preaching, they're not sent by the Lord. As it is written, how beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. 1 Corinthians 1:18, we know that one. Let's say that together. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it's the power of God. And then 1 Corinthians 1:23, Paul says, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. And 2 Corinthians 2:4. Paul says, my speech and my preaching, notice what his preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. That's not the way his preaching was. What was it? But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The Spirit of God was the power of Paul's preaching. In 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, Paul says, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And that should be the stand of every Christian believer, preaching and teaching and telling others about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians 1:8, though we, says Paul, are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The gospel of faith plus works is a cursed gospel. The gospel by works alone is an accursed gospel. Any other gospel. And we preach the Lord Jesus being the Savior of the world, that whosoever will, the people Christ saved and dying only for the elect is a cursed gospel again. A cursed gospel. Any other gospel, let it be accursed. Ephesians 3:8. Paul says, unto me, who am less than the least of the church. Right here in this verse, we read that. And in 2 Timothy 4:2, we read that every single Lord's Day in our church. Let's say it together. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. The instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. These unsearchable riches of Christ, Paul preaches. Unsearchable, can't find the depth of them. They just keep going and going and going. There are many unsearchable things, but in Job 5:9, which doeth great things, that is, the Lord doeth great things, unsearchable, marvelous things without number. In Psalm 145, verse 3, great is the Lord, greater to be praised, his greatness unsearchable. Can't find the depth. Can't find the depth and plumb the depth of it. In Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways, past finding out. Ephesians 3 and verse 8. Unto me, less than the least of these, we read this, the unsearchable riches of Christ. There's a man that talked about the all-sufficient Christ. Talk about unsearchable riches. In Luke 2:11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angelic mentioned to the people with Mary and Joseph. The Savior. To the Jews, he's the King of the Jews. To the architect, the sure foundation. To the baker, the living bread. To the physician, the compassionate healer. To the historian, the first and the last. To the ambassador, the Lord from heaven. To the wanderer, the way to the true God. To the blind, the true light of men. To the weak, the strength for the weary. To the unstable, the rock of ages. To the geologist, the rock that is higher than I. To the army general, the head of all principalities. To the soldier, the commander of the army of the Lord. To the oppressed, the deliverer out of Zion. To the peacemaker, the Lord of peace. To the prince, he's the Son of the Highest. He is unsearchable in his power with unsearchable names. In fact, there's a hymn writer that has titled that gospel song, Unsearchable Riches. All the unsearchable riches of Christ. Wealth that can never be told. Riches exhaustless of mercy and grace. Precious, more precious than gold. O unsearchable riches of Christ, who shall their greatness declare? Jesus and jewels whose luster our lives may adorn, pearls that the poorest may wear. O unsearchable riches of Christ, freely, how freely they flow, making the souls of the faithful and true happy wherever they go. O unsearchable riches of Christ, who would not gladly endure trials, afflictions, and crosses on earth, riches like these to secure. The unsearchable riches of Christ in this verse. You can't plumb the depth. Exhaustible. Old Testament, New Testament. I think of the two on the road to Emmaus after the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How he met them in the way and opened up to them and the Moses and the law and the prophets and the Psalms, the things concerning himself. What a wonderful thing that would have been to listen to the sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ and filling the things of himself in the Old Testament. They're there. Unsearchable riches of Christ. Let's read verse number 9 together. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. The fellowship of this mystery. Christ known unto the Lord, and that he should die for the sins of the world. That mystery, that sacred secret, to make known all men from the beginning of the world how he's been hidden in God. Notice the last part we mentioned earlier, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:9, those last words are gone, as I said before, with all the modern versions, because the Gnostics did not believe the Lord Jesus Christ could create anything. So, just wipe out by Jesus Christ. He was a man. The Gnostics believed he was a man. He was a created being. His father was Joseph, not the Holy Spirit. He wasn't born of a virgin. No miraculous birth. He didn't ascend to heaven. Christ and Jesus were two persons, the Gnostics teach. Jesus was a man. Christ was a principle. Christ came upon him at his baptism and left him at Calvary. They never tried to get Jesus Christ together. One person. And so the Gnostics deny him the creation by the Lord Jesus Christ, wipe out, and these new versions, following the Gnostic heretics, wipe them out as well. That's why you have to trash the NIV, trash the New American Standard, trash the International Standard, the English Standard Version, all the modern versions, trash them, Revised Standard, New Revised Standard, because the Gnostic heresies, 356 doctrinal errors, are contained in these versions. Why? Because they follow the Gnostic heresies from Alexandria, Egypt, which were the headquarters of the Gnostics. the headquarters of Gnosticism was Alexandria, and also the headquarters and the source of Vatican Sinai that they worship, the B and Aleph manuscripts, was also Alexandria. That's the garbage pit from which these two documents came. And that these two documents, Vatican Sinai, are the ones on which these new modern versions are based. And they just have adopted and accepted the filth, the rot, the anti-Christian false teachings of Gnosticism, 356 places, maybe they're more, but Dr. Jack Mullen has listed 356. In my book, Defending the King James Bible, Chapter 5, I list 158 or more of the important ones, 158 doctrinal heresies that these new versions have adopted because they've adopted the heretical Gnostic Greek text of Vatican and Sinai, B and Aleph, which is that. But by Jesus Christ, He is the Creator. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The entire Trinity was a part of the creation. Genesis 1:21, and God created great whales and every living thing that moved, and waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. Every winged fowl at this time saw it was good. The Creator was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus was part of the creation. Whales, and the sea creatures, they were first, the Navy. And then the waters, then they're kind of winged fowl, that's the Air Force. And then they got the creature of the earth, I guess the Army too. All right. All these creatures were made. It being a Navy chaplain, I got to get that in there. All right. And Genesis 1:27, so God created man in His own image. There's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all persons of the Trinity. In Genesis 1:27, God created again man in His own image. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, partakers, the Trinity, were creation and were creators of this world. All things He made, male and female, not simply male, not simply female, all of them, like the homosexual praising president is saying, just think of this. He created a male and female and said, reproduce and go ahead and take care and reproduce and populate the world. You see the significance of our president, the first president in history that says sodomy is all right. Go ahead, you sodomites. Go ahead. Lesbian women, sodomite men, go ahead with it, see? Marry one another. Terrible disgrace. And he himself has committed sodomized acts by another man who's testified against him. And so no wonder he's for sodomites. He's committed sodomy himself. Our president has. This is documented. And he's tried to sue that man. Didn't get anywhere. The man testified. Wondered if he doesn't kill him like others have been killed in slaughter. But male and female created he them. Not simply male or just female alone. In John 1:3, talks about the Lord Jesus Christ again. All things were made by Him, the Creator. The Lord Jesus was Creator. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In John 1:10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. The Lord Jesus again, Creator, and the world knew Him not. Ephesians 3:9, created by Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1:16, by Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by Him, all things were created. They're in heaven, they're in earth, visible and invisible. Whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. The Gnostic says, no, Christ did not create anything. The Lord Jesus Christ was not the Creator. They wipe out the power of the Lord Jesus Christ because they say that He's just a man. Let's read verse number 10 together. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, which might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, whatever those heavenly places may be, whatever those powers are, whether it's satanic places or the angels or whatever they be in heavenly places, that unto them might be known by the church, by the saved people, the born-again Christian people, the manifold wisdom of God. It's up to us to declare the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is found in His words. That's why we stand for our King James Bible, which is accurately translated, the proper Hebrew, proper Aramaic, proper Greek words, into English. It's God's words, kept intact in English. We've got to teach the wisdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, by the world by wisdom, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The worldly wisdom knew not God. And so God said, I'll tell you something about these wise people in the colleges, the seminaries, the universities. I'll bring my son into this world, and I'll simply make it possible that every man, woman, or child that genuinely trusts in Him as their Savior and Redeemer can be saved and go to heaven. And to the wise, that's foolish. Foolishness. And by foolishness of preaching, God saves those that believe. And the wise can't understand it. The wise say, we've got to understand something. Our wisdom's got to come into play. God says, no, your wisdom doesn't have to come into play. It's my wisdom, the wisdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. You trust in Him. He's the one. And by the foolishness of the preaching, to save eternally them that believe, not go by works, but by belief, genuinely trust in Him. And say, 1 Corinthians 1:24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and Christ the wisdom of God. What a wonderful Savior is He. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7, Paul says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. The hidden wisdom. And as it says other places, the foolishness of God is the wiser than men. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. Well, God is not foolish, but if you could compare, He's saying something, the silliest, foolishest thing that God could ever think of, whatever it is, and He does not foolish, but if you could think of something foolish with God, the foolishness of God is still wiser than a man. Anything a man's got to do, even the folly of man. So that's the comparison we should make. Let's read verse number 10 together. That to the end, did we do that? Oh, sorry, to verse 11, I'm sorry, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. According to this eternal purpose, God has made known His wisdom. He's made it known in His words. He's made it known in the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. We believe that's the only place that God Himself has made known His wisdom. Translations are not God's wisdom, but the translations, if the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, of man's, of God's wisdom, translation. And that's what we have in our King James Bible. And those people who say that they can add to the words of God, whether it's the Mormon book, whether it's the Christian Science book, whether it's the Ruckmanite and Rippensreich people that say the King James is added to the Word of God by fresh revelation, all these things are under the curse of God. You shall not add to His words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. Translation of those words, as we have accurately in our King James Bible, true and faithful translations, but they're not straight from God. They're translations of the words of God. And this King James Bible we have, according to the eternal purpose, He purposed in Christ Jesus. And then in Romans 8 and verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to the purpose. We know that. I'm going to say that again. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that know God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And that love God, called according to His purpose. And that verse 11, according to the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, the eternal purpose of God found in His words are to be told to all the nations of the world. Ephesians 3 and verse 11, according to the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, it talks about who has saved us and called us. He talks to Pastor Timothy, the pastor of the church of Ephesus. He saved us, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The church as a body, many people don't understand that. The church as a body was a corporate body chosen as a body before the foundation of the world. Just like Israel was a corporate body, an elect, chosen body, group Israel. That church, as a group, chosen before the foundation of the world, when persons are saved by grace in Christ, they become a member of that body which is formally called and chosen before the foundation of the world. And so it's an eternal purpose that was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, that body, which is a secular, a body which is chosen before in God, a body which is there, God has not said, now only certain people are part of that body. We don't believe in certain elect people and nobody else that He's chosen. But the body itself is chosen. and guide us to the gospel, made it possible for every one of us to become a member of that tournament by faith in Christ, by personal faith and genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes us a member of that body. In John 3, in verse 8, he that commits sin is of the devil. The devil said at the beginning, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Part of the purpose of God to destroy the works of the devil. One of the works of the devil is to imprison and empower and enslave every man, woman, and child in the world. That's part of the works of the devil. That's what he's cut out for. That's what he's fell into sin for. That's his purpose. And the purpose of God was to thwart the works of the devil, to break the power of the devil, so that he does not have to continue to be dominating men, women, and children in this world. Lord Jesus Christ wants to dominate our lives. He wants to be our King, our Savior, our Lord. And the devil has broken those bonds. We can break the bonds through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And we're no longer, once we're saved, members of the family of the devil, as we were by birth. We're now the members of the family of God by genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But everyone, if you're here without Christ this morning, you've never saved, been saved genuinely, your father is the devil. You've got to change fatherhood. Those listening brother means on the internet, if they're not in Christ, their father is the devil also. They must, by faith, genuine faith in Christ, break that connection and come to Christ and have the Father, God the Father. And that's the difference. And so, this morning we talked about the things of the Lord, the unsearchable riches of Christ. The one body that He's made, Jew and Gentiles, bond and free, rich and poor, tall and short, handsome and ugly, all saved, born-again Christians, redeemed by the blood of Christ, can be a part of that body of Christ. And we can understand that the Lord Jesus Christ's riches are unsearchable. Now, if you found something that was rich, what would you do with it? Let's think about that. Whatever the riches would be. Not the paper money we have today, but what if it was gold or silver that was knocked away by our presidents? What if it was gold and silver, riches or rubies? What would you do with riches? Well, number one, you'd probably drive them. That's true. Number two, if you had an abundance of those riches, maybe you'd share them with your family, your wife, your children, your relatives. And so if you have riches in Christ, yes, keep them yourself, but share them as well. The manifold, unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ should be not only kept, but shared, if they are indeed riches. Now, some people don't consider salvation by faith in Christ as riches. They don't even consider that. God calls them riches, unsearchable riches in Christ. He values them. We should value also, if we're saved and born again, genuinely saved, value those riches. Guide them, keep them, and then spread them to others as well. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, His unsearchable riches. We thank Thee for these verses that Thou hast given to us. We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ, if there be here in our group this morning, any that are unsaved, may they come to that Savior by genuine faith. Those listening by other means on the internet, the same. And for those of us who are saved, born again Christians, saved by Thy grace, may we never forget that our mission should be to preach unto the world these unsearchable riches, that they may be saved as well. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.